Let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I know what the bulletin says, but we're going to look at John 8. God's Word is the only thing written that's absolute. It doesn't change. John chapter 8. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Someone came to visit me one day, and this verse, as we were talking, this verse of Scripture came to mind, and we discussed it briefly, and it's been on my mind ever since. Verse 32, John 8, verse 32, our Lord says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But let's begin up in verse 30. If you heard the radio broadcast, this is where it's from. And I thought, this morning, you know, I may not live to finish the rest of this. We need to hear the rest of it. Verse 30, the Lord says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. As he spake these words, he said many things right in this immediate time. Many things. And quite often it says that folks believed on him. Go back to chapter 2, John chapter 2. Many times throughout the Scriptures it says that they believed on him. The Jews believed on him, or the people believed on him. You know that. Look here in John 2, verse 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. See that? When they saw the miracles, they believed in him. And other times it says they believed in him or on him because he provided food for them. Fed to 5,000, so on and so forth. And he said that. He said, you follow me because you got your bellies filled, or because you saw the miracle. Look at verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. He knew them. He knew their hearts. He knows our heart. Boy, we need him to commit to us, don't we? Verse 25, and it says he needed not that any should testify of man. He knew what was in man. So that's the sense here in John 8 where it says many believed on him. They just, well, we believe. But did they? Now look at the next verse. Our Lord said in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you're a true disciple. Then you really believe me. A disciple is someone who follows and believes and studies under a master, a teacher, someone they admire greatly, someone who they believe every word he says. A real disciple is someone who believes every single thing that their teacher, their master, which they're a disciple of, believes every word he says and follows him closely. A disciple, we get the word discipline from that, don't we? A disciple disciplines or gets under the discipline of whoever it is they're following. So he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now I looked up the word continue. And it means what you think it means. But it means so much more. you know, words that we have. But Barnard used to say, you just need two books, a Bible and a dictionary. And that's good advice. We just look up plain old words that we use and take for granted. They have great meaning quite often. It'll really open it up to you. He said, if you continue. Now, the word continue means to stay. Listen to me. The word continue means to stay in a given place. This is a dictionary, a concordance said it. To stay where you're told to stay. Are you with me? If you stay where you're told to stay, then you're my disciples indeed. If you don't leave, if you don't move away, if you stay where you're told to stay, and you may have heard this illustration on the radio, a dog. I love these illustrations. Maybe you're getting tired of them, but people that have dogs don't. Henry, you like these illustrations about dogs? Okay, I'm going to keep telling them. Henry's, he's been around here as long or longer than anybody, so I get, John's all right? Okay. A dog, some of the first things you teach a dog, elementary commands, what you need to teach it. What you need to teach it for its safety, for its welfare, to keep it from killing itself. Not just to show what a good dog trainer you are, but to keep that dog from killing itself. You need to teach it to stay. Don't you? Abner, my good and dear devoted friend, Abner. Every dog I've ever owned got hit by a car. Every cat, every animal. We've always lived near busy street, and all of them got killed. Except for the ones we had to put to sleep. And when we first moved where we are, we would go for walks on that road and go all the way down to Route 40 on our road. You know where we live. We'd walk all the way down to Route 40. Well, Abner wanted to follow Annie. He wanted to go with us. And we just knew that if he got anywhere near this road, you know. So when we'd get to the top of the hill, we'd tell him stay. We taught him stay right there. Don't go near that road. You stay right there. And he would. And to this day, he does, doesn't he, man? And she doesn't have to tell him. We walk along. I quit walking. I got tired of that. Amanda keeps walking. And I say I got other things to do. She keeps walking. And when she gets to right to that point, he stops. She goes on. Doesn't have to tell him. Hitherto he goes and no further. If you continue in my word, if you stay where you're told to stay and go no further. You know, the religious world is running after rabbits. They're running in every direction, looking for this and looking for that. That's the reason they follow all these crooks. They hear some fellow over here, some fellow saying, hey, I'm the man. Our Lord said, let a man come in his own name and you'll follow him. I mean, he can actually say, it's me. I'm put his name all over something, you know. And they'll follow him like dogs. They're chasing rabbits, looking for this, looking for that, looking for answers, looking for that. And our Lord said, my word. It's my word. If he's ever caused you to sit, like his dog, made you to sit, taught you to sit, like that wild man, that crazy man, nobody could tame him, but the Lord did. The Lord came, revealed himself to him, and made him sit, and clothed him in his right mind. Don't go, there's nothing out there. You need to sit right here and listen to me. Sit. Clothed him in his right, now stay. You remember after it was over, another man, after it was over, the Lord said, who was it? The leper that he cleansed. Somebody he cleansed, more than one. He cleansed and said, well, now go your way. You're healed. Go your way. And the Lord started walking, and what did the fellow do? Following him. I'm staying with you from here on. That's my way. That's where I want to be. Stay. If you continue, stay in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. My word. This is his voice. This is the shepherd's voice. And this is how you know a true disciple. They won't hear a stranger's voice. They won't hear a stranger's voice. If you continue, the word continue means to abide. To live there. You abide somewhere. I live in my home with this family. One woman there. I live in that home. You live in your home with your husband. You live with your wife and children. And that's where you abide. That's where you resort to. If you abide, that's where you live. Well, if you continue in my word, if you abide, if this is where you live. In other words, the family, you're married, that's your life. Your children, your life. If Christ is in you, and you're in Christ, He's your life. Not a part of it. Not a part of it. Nobody ever in Scripture ever said that. You won't find that anywhere. But people say it all the time today, don't they? It's a very common thing. Well, Christ is a big part of my life. Then He's not your life. God is a big part of my life. They put things in order like this. Family, baseball, or, you know, and God. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is, truly. If you continue to abide in me, and I in you, Christ said, like a vine and branches. Didn't he say that? Like a vine and branch. Stay with me now. This is life. If you abide in me, if you live in me, continue in my word, abide in my word, and Christ, this is how Christ speaks to his people. This is how Christ deals with his people. You understand that? He doesn't speak out loud. He doesn't come in person. You hearing me? He doesn't come in person. He doesn't come and say, now listen, John, listen, John, I want to teach you something here. You're doing this wrong, and I need to show you how to... And he doesn't come to it and say, listen, Sarah, you need to go over so-and-so. He doesn't do that. Well, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Right here. This is how he does that. This is how he speaks. This is how he speaks. He said, we have not because we ask not. When we ask him, he'll send us to this or recall this to mind and teach us. Said, listen, John. And he'll bring the word to mind. He does speak to his people. And the reason he doesn't speak out loud, we want him. Everybody in here does that, don't we? Everybody in here thinks at times, God, just tell me, just show me. He has. But what's the problem? Me. I'm not looking. I'm not seeking. He has. A reason God doesn't speak out loud now. He doesn't speak out loud anymore. He used to, in time past, spoke unto the fathers by the prophet before the word was completed. The reason he does it now is he has said all that needs to be said. It's all right here. It's all right here. He's not left us in doubt about anything. There's a principle for everything. And he's spoken to it. If you continue in my word, abide, live there, dwell there. Listen to my voice. If you abide there, my words abide in you. The word continue means to stand. Stand. We use the term take a stand. Take a stand. Stand right there. I'm not moving. This is it. I'm not moving. Oh, come on, go. No. Yeah, but look over. No. This is what I must do. Take a stand. This is what this is like. This is the one thing needful. It means to tarry. You see, this is just an English word. Continue. If you tarry. Ever tarried? Let's put it this way. Has your wife ever tarried? Told somebody, the only people that really know patience are married men. What are you shaking your head at, Roberta? He's waited on... Oh, you wait on him, is it? He's the only one I've run into. I'm just kidding. They're all worth waiting on, aren't they, men? Y'all better nod your head. They're worth waiting on. Every minute of them. All that getting ready, man, is it worth it. Tarry, the word tarry means to wait, to ponder, to linger. And if he said, if you continue my word, you tarry there, linger, ponder, consider, meditate, think about it. What are you going to do? This is what it says. You see the wisdom in that? Meditate on it. Tarry there a little while. Don't impulsively. Like a fellow said, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to turn in the scriptures and he'll tell me what to do. And he put his finger down and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, he said, oh, no. He turned over and he pointed down there and said, what thou doest, do it quickly. He says, you don't do that. You don't do that. You tarry, you ponder, you consider, count the cost, and so forth. And you ponder what the Scripture says, and the wisdom of it, and the need of it, and all that. Count the cost. Well, he said, if you continue in my word, not man's interpretation of it, my word. Now, I know all these fellows and some ladies even say various things. They're all different. Well, no, they most of them agree. But here's a way you know the difference. It's so different. It's like night and day. The truth and error differ so greatly. It's like black and white, night and day, isn't it, Matt? There's no gray area. Like the people, when they heard Paul, when Paul came to Antioch, Mars Hill, and the people heard him preaching, the God of the Bible, true God, reigns and rules, does as he pleases with whom he pleases. Man doesn't control him, but he doesn't do what man lets him do. He doesn't, that man's not the free one, God is. That man's not in control of anything. God is. It's not up to man. And on and on he preached. Christ, the only way. Not man's works, not man's religion, not man's whatever man thinks is wrong. And he began preaching that. And the people said, this is strange doctrine. Didn't it? You know the story. Strange doctrine. He's preaching a strange God. His God is strange. Nobody believes like that. Who ever heard of such a thing? They said. This is Acts 17. Who ever heard of such a thing? A God that doesn't love everybody. What are you talking about? Nobody believes that. God who actually pours out his wrath on people and punishes sin. What? Nobody's telling that anymore. Modern man doesn't, our modern society doesn't believe that, Mr. Paul, apostle. What is this strange doctrine? The truth is so different than error. There's no middle ground. And Christ, when he came, look at John 16. Go over to John 16. I want you to look at it with your eye. Something to be said for John 14. There's something to be said for looking up the scriptures. Number one, you need to look them up yourself, not just trust the man that he's reading them. Right? Don't just trust somebody. There was a fellow years ago, it's a true story. See if I can get it exactly how it was said. Some preacher was telling the man what he thought the Word of God was saying. And he was talking about the Word of God as the milk of God's Word. And the fellow said, well, I want to get my Bible and see if what you're saying is so. And the fellow was trying to tell him, no, you can trust me with it. You can trust me. And the fellow said, no, if I'm going to get milk, I'm going to get my own cow. I want my own cow. Something to that effect. We need to have our own scriptures, or else you got to trust somebody. And that's not good. John 14, and there's something to be said for looking at it with your eyes, hearing it with your ears, or saying it out loud with your own voice. All these things help. I strongly urge you to do that every now and then. Take your Bible and read it out loud. Our Lord said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, to his disciple, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that continueth in my word. And Christ said, I am the way. He did not say, now I'm not interpreting this. I'm telling you exactly what he said. He did not say, I will show you the way. Did it? He said, I am the way. In other words, I am the way. When you go to Roanoke, what highway do you get on? If you live in Rocky Mountain, you get on 220. That's the way. If you're on that highway, you get to Roanoke. That's the way. It is the way you're going to get there. You understand? That's so simple. It is the way you're getting there. You're in a car. That car is the way that's getting you there. Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way you get there. Come unto me. Oh, there's a way that seems right. Well, that sounds good, but I'm going to try this way. The way. The way. There's no other way. The way. You know, if we could get a hold of this, it set us free. Free from looking other ways. He said that down here, you'll know the truth. What truth? Doctrine? Yeah, but I am the way. The truth that Christ is the way. The way. The truth. The truth. You know the truth? Look down at verse 32. He said, you'll know the truth in our text. John 8. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth. Truth of who God is. Christ said, no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son reveals him. Let me tell you about the Father. And he did. And the truth of who the Father is. We think of God. Now, I love to preach God high and lifted up. You love to hear it, don't you? Those that really love God's glory can never get enough of hearing God exalted. You can't preach God too sovereign for his people. I mean, those that are really interested in God's glory, God's honor, God's people. In heaven, that's all they're doing is singing about his glory and loving every minute of it and don't want to stop. That's the way it is down here. That's the way it begins down here. They see something of His glory, and that's what they love to hear. And who they love to hear declared. Because that really gives them peace. When they find out He really is God, and I'm in His hands, and everything's in His hands, my soul's in His hands, and that's all right, because I can't do anything. He's my God, thy God reigneth. And here I'm. I didn't want to stay right there, but I love it, don't you? This world full of chaos and confusion, and everybody saying, well, you know, worry about bin Laden, or worry about whoever, worry about Satan. Say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Nobody and nothing. Satan can't move a finger unless God allows him to do it. And it's in His purpose. Now, you like that? That'll set you free from... Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4. Set you free from absolute despair. It'll set you free from absolute worry. It'll set you free. You know the truth. Truth of who God really is. You'll know the truth. And I hope I can think of what I was getting ready to say. But here in 2 Corinthians 4, he said in verse 8, we're troubled on every side. And we are. You much through much tribulation, trouble, enter the kingdom of heaven, but not distressed. Why?
Our God reigns.
We're perplexed. They can't figure it out. I don't understand why that happened.
But not in despair.
We're not without hope. Not going to kill ourselves. No.
God reigns.
We're persecuted. Got all kind of enemies. Got all kind of people against us. Seems like everything and everybody's against us. Persecuted.
We're not forsaken.
God said,
if God be for us, what does it matter if the whole world again, if your father and mother forsake you, he said, I've taken you.
Not forsaken. You know, we forget that, don't we? At times. You just remembered it. It just gave you a little peace. How? I just read it to you. You just read it yourself. You see? You see where there's peace? You'll know the truth. They go hand in hand. This is the written truth. See that? This is our only place to turn. And it's not just the Bible, though. Not just turning to the Bible. I want to read the Scripture. Lord, speak to me. This is how you speak. Speak. Thy servant heareth. You with me? It'll set you free. You'll know this. You know this, and you forget it all week, and you forget to turn to it. I'm telling you, turn to it. And ask, turn to Him first. Turn to Him first. Pray without ceasing. Lord, I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting to speak to me. Old Brother Tom, that's what he kept stressing, wasn't it, Henry? Mend it. He kept saying, Henry, mend it. He preached from Psalm 62, pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Here's the point I wanted to make. I remember it. Good. I love to preach God's sovereign on the throne. It gives us great peace. But I tell you what gives you, what else gives you peace about God, sets you free from worry and all that, is your father. Steve, he's your dad. May I say that? Our Lord said that.
You can call Him Abba.
That was a very affectionate, close, not a flippant, not a careless, not an irreverent term. No. But nevertheless, a close term, a term of affection that meant something to you. That word means something to you, doesn't it? When you think of dad, oh, God, our Lord said that to His disciples. I go to my Father and your Father. He said, the Father loveth you like He loved me. Your Father. Well, what does that mean to you? Set you free.
Dad's not going to hurt you. Dad never did anything to hurt you.
Your dad. A true dad. A true father now. There's some men on this earth who have been monsters and not fathers. But a true father now. And there's some real fathers on this earth. And your heavenly father is a true father. He would never do anything ever to hurt his children. And if your earthly father is a monster, you've got a heavenly father. You hear me? You've got a heavenly father. And somehow in that purpose of your heavenly father, that earthly father you're stuck with, he'll deal with him. Man is set you free. I got to quit. I didn't know I was really going to preach from this until this morning, but you know the truth about man
set you free. You know the truth about this world set you free from trying to impress it.
You know the truth about people. Our Lord said that. He knew what was in man. Don't commit to him. God's people now that have the love of God in their hearts and Christ in them, they're just like their father. They're people you can resort to in time. But Christ, principally, he's the chief one. He's the one you turn to. You know the truth about man, it'll keep you from man bothering you. Paul said that. He said, and everybody was against him. Everybody. He said that at one time. He said, nobody's with me. Nobody but Timothy. And finally, Brother Stan, I love this. He reached the point, he said, from henceforth, let no man bother me. Let no man bother me. Not worried about it. I'm just not worried about it. Who cares? Because I know what's in man. Something wrong with it. Bad wrong with it. And, if you know Christ, you know the truth, set you free. The truth of who Christ is. Who is he? Friend of sinners. I mean the friend of sinners. Now, he's the only one that is, he and his people. I know people like to say that, but now you see it. They won't have anything to do with it. He will, just like that woman caught. Yeah. They all came in, threw her at his feet. Nobody wanted anything to do with it. She made them look good, you know. When it all ended, it was just him and her. They all skedaddled, guilty as. She's the only one justified. Sinner, he's a friend of sinners. And Edith with them. You know that story.
He's a savior of sinners. He's a savior of sinners. Call his name Jesus. He shall say. That's why I came here. That's
what he delights to do. You know, I could keep going with this, couldn't I? You know the truth. The truth of his mercy. He's merciful. Whatever you're full of is what comes out. And I'm not commenting on that too much. But our Lord is merciful. Full of mercy. And it says he delights to show it. Somebody's a lot of money, you know. And got a lot to give. Our Lord is merciful. He delights to show it. How long will he show it?
Forever.
I'm going to say that. Keep saying that. Why does the Word of God keep saying his mercy endures forever? And that one psalm says it how many times, John? 26 times? In 26 verses? Why does he keep saying that? Why do you keep telling your children something? Over and over and over and over and over. Why do you keep telling them that? You're going to tell it until they get it. He's merciful. His mercy endures. Oh, he's done with me now.
Are you going to just, are you finally going to be done with your children? Never.
They may leave you, but you're not going to leave them. Merciful, gracious, full of grace, full of, says grace pours from his lips. What do you need? The word in season?
It just pours from his lips.
Never, you know, not the rebuke is good. We need it. Need some harsh rebuke, but he doesn't just keep railing. Keep railing. No, 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 no. Grace. I'd love to keep going with this another hour. Huh? Know the truth of who he is. Set you free. Whew, I'm worried about my soul. How come? He's got it. Worried about losing my salvation.
You never had it.
Oh, man, I can relax, can't I?
That's precisely what he tells us to do.
Rest. Come unto me and rest, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Freedom. Freedom. And we could go on and on. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Ask some people out in religion who are under the law. Are you happy? Yeah. Yeah. I gotta go. Somebody might see me. Go get the TV out of my house or something. Yeah, happy. Set you free from these deliverance fellows. To set free means to deliver. That's the word you hear all over the world now. Deliverance, deliverance. We promise you deliverance, deliverance. Oh, man, there's a lot of people in bondage to this deliverance. He sets you free from them. And I keep saying, I'm going to say it and say it and say it until we hear it. Jesus Christ is all the religion anybody needs. Set you free. Set you free. Freedom. Nothing like it. Okay, let's sing a closing hymn, Brother Gabe. What number? 216. 216.